in Serie A, like, when it is 2-0 and you have 10 minutes left, like, the game's not over for me.
No.
Not because every opposition has certain quality. It's just because of how balmy the league is. You sort of have to manage the crazy side of it as well the best you can.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know he kept Ruiz on. I know he kept Anguissa on. But maybe he could have put a Diego Demme or someone to just hold the ball a little.
Yeah.
Because Empoli, they haven't won since December.
No, exactly. And they, I mean, they are 14th in the league now. But, I mean, they were much higher before. They kind of lost the grip after the new year.
Yeah, after their little boost.
Yeah, Napoli are out.
So I'm officially writing the ADR obituary for Napoli's Scudetto push. Also, Andrea Pinamonti, it was sort of poetic of him that it was him who scored two goals. He is from on loan from Inter, scored two goals to help eliminate basically Napoli from the title race. But it does seem like they've capitulated now. No Scudetto for Insigne or Mertens or Koulibaly.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame because it's Insigne's last season with Napoli, and it would have been nice in some way to end that Scudetto drought for them. But I mean, it's poetic this as well.
Yeah, so I think that the title will be going to Milan. We just don't know whether it will be blue or red. So who will basically paint the Palazzo Duomo?
Yeah,
in red or blue, basically. Moving away from the top and going to the bottom, we spoke earlier about this sort of craziness of Serie A. What is going on? Salernitana, 3 wins on the bounce, 9 points in 8 days. David Nicola got so mad he threw a shoe. Did he throw a shoe or he was just waving it about?
He took off his shoe and he threatened Luca Ranieri with it because Luca Ranieri did a mistake that almost cost Salernitana a goal. So
that's how much it means, all right? David Nicola is out here.
Yeah, if he did it again, he would get a shoe.
David Nicola is out here sacrificing his damn Jordan.
Yeah.
Or his Air Maxes. What was he wearing? They look like Jordans. They look like Jordans to me.
I don't know. It was a big shoe.
We'll find out, all right? Find out and get that shoe for me. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Salernitana beat Sampdoria. Then they beat Udinese. And now they beat Vincenzo Italiano's Fiorentina. It's a massive, massive scalp. 9 points in 8 days, like I said, but they also have a crucial game in hand over Cagliari and I guess Sampdoria now as well. I don't think they're safe.
No, and this is like this epitomes the crazy side of Serie A that we talked about. We've counted them out for several weeks now, and Davide Nicola goes and gets 9 points in 8 days.
Yeah,
and now they are 3 points off of safe ground with a game in hand. So
no team is. I think so. They're playing Venezia, they're playing Cagliari, they're playing Empoli, and they have Udinese. And then before that, they have Atalanta. But it is an Atalanta team that is sort of the mood and the form is not of the Atalanta of previous years, basically. But I think this time of the season is you're basically squeezing an orange and getting as much juice as possible from that orange.
Yeah.
When you have momentum on your side, I think anything's possible. Those 3 wins, the other teams will be looking at that going.
And at the same time, Salernitana will look at it and say, let's get more.
Yeah.
Let's continue riding this wave.
3 out of the last 5 games for them at home as well. I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you've seen Salernitana games this year. Of course you have. You're a Calcio head. That place is a fortress to go to. I've said it so many times on this podcast. A place is a fortress to go to away. Like the ground is really noisy. The stadium's really high up. The crowd get on their backs. But throughout the game against Fiorentina, they looked intense. They looked biting. They were well worth their 2 goals. They could have had 3 or 4 in the first half. They're finally getting it up to Milan Juric, who I've been a fan of the entire year. I've just said, look, he's a very, very difficult traditional number 9 to get it to. go ahead and get it to him, and he'll cause problems with Simone Verdi up front. Bonazzoli came on and scored as well. David Nicola is the manager of Salernitana. He is the Harry Houdini of relegation battles. He's an escapologist. He's done this before. He kept up Genoa when it didn't look like they would be kept up. He kept up Cagliari when, again, they looked like on the brink of relegation. He kept up, let me get this right, Crotone, right? It was Crotone. He kept Crotone up when they looked dead and buried. And then he said that before the end of the season with Crotone, he said, if I keep them up, I'm going to cycle from one end of the country to another. and he did that too. This man is not to be messed with when it comes to relegation battles, man.
When shit hits the fan, this is the guy you call.
Yeah, when you're in trouble. David Nicola.
Call David Nicola.
That was, what is that? It's Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
Fun fact, I've never actually seen that, but anyway.
Very lovable guy.
Yeah, this man cycling from one end of the country to another when he keeps his team up. He's also threatening people with a shoe. So what do we think now?
Yeah, we've said it for weeks.
What do we think now? Because I don't know how many times we've been on this podcast and apologized to Salernitana fans, because all we've said is, yeah, they're going down. So they're on 25 now with a game in hand. Cagliari are in 28. Sampdoria on 30, and then Genoa just below Salernitana, who we quickly have to mention as well, because they won as well this weekend in a massive, massive game against Cagliari.
Yeah, but honestly, I have the feeling that Salernitana would pull this off, because, I mean, it would be a tough game against Atalanta away at the GV Stadium, but then it's Venezia, Cagliari, Empoli, and Udinese. I mean, Cagliari and Venezia, those are essentially six-point games. If they win those, they basically secure the contract for next season. And then there's Empoli, who are, I mean, I would say the win against Napoli was more of a one-off thing in their form. Maybe they will ride that momentum now, but I definitely think that they can beat Venezia, Cagliari, Empoli, and Udine as well, because it's at home. They are strong now, and they've found a sort of tactic that works for them.
It would be a magnificent story. That from me was in reaction to the remainder of Sampdoria's games. Actually, they're not out of it, man. They've got Genoa to play next. They play Lazio after Fiorentina, and then the final game is to Inter. I think that just about gonna survive.
Chicho Caputo has something to prove there.
Yeah, Caputo, wind it up, man. Or Quagliarella. I watched most of their game against Verona.
Yeah,
and it was funny to see they kept going to Quagliarella on the bench, and he was just yelling, "Calma, calma." Like, everybody on the touchline yells that in Serie A.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think is going to happen? Everyone's going to turn around and go, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, maybe we should all just calm down a bit.
Okay. Yeah, we will relax.
Yeah. No, he's right. They're 5 points from relegation. Would we say, I'm not saying that they're out of it at all, with their difficult fixtures, I can only see them picking up.
Yeah. It will also depend on how it goes for the teams below them.
Four more points, I'd say.
But they have David Nikolov threatening his play with a shoe. So if I were them, I would run into the ground before I was hit by that shoe.
I know, right? So I think the relegation battle has come to life. I said it a few weeks ago, but something normally happens in relegation battles where one team just starts picking up wins. What that does is other teams around them start shedding it, because it's not like a Scudetto where you, or even a top four place where, like, the reward that you're going for is essentially a leisure, or essentially going to make your team richer, or it's, you know what I mean? It's like it increases the notoriety and wealth of your team. When you're fighting relegation,
yeah,
like, it's different. It's like the Hunger Games a bit. It's like dog eat dog.
Yeah, it's every man for their own.
Is that it? Is that the closer that you had for the relegation battle?
No.
Every man for himself. and then the podcast just cuts to a picture of David Nicolo on his shoe.
No, but honestly, I think that a few weeks ago, I was of the opinion that I thought Venezia was going to be the team that did that. Yeah, Salernitana, they've
lost five in a row now.
They did the right hiring. They have the Harry Haldini of the relegation battle, and right now it seems like they will pull it off. They will do a salvezza.
Yes, we have. I think we actually have four teams in the relegation battle now. Let's see what's going to happen. Who's gonna? I think that Salernitana might. This is the first time I'm going to say it, man.
Yep.
Are you ready? I think they might stay up. I'm gonna put my neck on the line here. They're gonna stay up.
Yeah. If you were to right now say which three teams are getting relegated, which three would you say?
Venezia, Genoa, and Cagliari.
Yeah, I would say the exact same. I think that Sampdoria has the individual quality and that the other teams don't have.
Just about, yeah, but they have a difficult run of fixtures.
Yeah, but it's as you said, when you have the knife against your throat, you kind of do everything you can to get out of it, and maybe that's somewhat to their advantage.
Yes. So I mean, Cagliari Salernitana on the 8th of May, Sunday. Put that in your calendars. That's a big watch, man.
I will.
Yeah. Inter also beat Roma at the San Siro. I think my favorite moment from this game was when Inter and Mourinho continued their love affair. I've never seen a team that loves a manager more and he loves them back after them, like, sort of departing from each other.
Yeah. And he...
Like, it's nice to see, to be honest. They even sang the Mourinho song and he held his hand up in, like, the 75th minute when... I think they knew that they were winning. They sang, Jose Mourinho, la 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 la, Jose Mourinho. And he put his hand up.
Yeah, and Mourinho said afterwards, in the most Jose Mourinho way possible, we've played Milan, we played Inter, Napoli, and Juventus. Now I can say, I hope that Inter takes this.
Yeah, that love affair is just nice to see, to be honest. Inter get a good win against a big team. It just feels like that win against Juventus, that smash and grab where they really shouldn't have won, has just sort of, they've used that as a launch pad. It's been four wins on the bounce now. Hakan was fantastic against Roma. The first goal, I just want to say, for Denzel Dumfries, that felt like a goal directly from the Antonio Conte playbook. Like, it just felt like I was watching Inter of last season. That is just like fullback drop deep, Perisic bladed off to the centre back, Di Marco tucks it into Zeko, who was coming deep to link up. He passes it to the CAM, Hakan Çalhanoğlu. He then releases Dumfries on a third man run and puts it in.
Yeah, a terrific pass from Çalhanoğlu, we must say.
Yeah,
I agree with you, and I had the feeling going into this that Roma could steal a point or something like that, because since that game, you know, in the Europa League against Bode Glimt, when there was a fight afterwards with the Bode staff and the Roma staff, I felt like there was kind of a switch that got flipped at Roma then, because they came back, they thrashed Buda with 4-0 at home, then they beat Napoli away, and I thought that maybe they could get something from Inter at the San Siro, but
So they drew to Napoli away, but I know what you mean. Before this loss though, it was 10 unbeaten. Sorry, 11. It was 11 unbeaten.
they had a nice streak going.
Yes, Tammy Abraham was playing very well. But like I said, I think we already said with the Rome clubs, it's more interesting to see what they do next year than this when he has a full season of a team that he knows now how they play and everything. Inter, meanwhile, look like they've found their groove again on the basis of that Juve smash and grab win. And the signing that they replaced Christian Eriksen with finally looks like he's coming to fruition.
I agree. I had my doubt about Hakan Çalhanoğlu because at Milan he tended to kind of...
Drifted in certain games.
Yeah, he kind of stat padded in the games against a weaker opposition and kind of disappeared against...
you leave stat padders alone. There's nothing wrong with stat padding, all right? We love Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, of course. But you know what I'm saying. He got his points against the weaker sides and kind of went disappearing in the top games. And that was what I thought would be somewhat of a downside to that signing from Inter. But Hakan has stepped up in the big games this season. It's been several games where he has had a deciding finger in the game.
Mm. We finally know that the Inter's game in hand is going to be played tomorrow.
Yeah,
against Bologna away. I think there was a long time where Inter were trying to just get the game called off so they could get the 3 points. But that's a massive. I know we've got Champions League tomorrow. I think it's Liverpool Villarreal, right?
It is.
But that is also a big, big game in the title picture for Inter. Let's see. Bologna can do AC Milan a favor. Sort of moving on to...
And we should also say that after tomorrow, they have Udinese at the Friuli on Sunday, which is a tough game for every opposition.
Yeah, Beto.
Beto. You doggy.
Yeah.
You doggy.
You doggy. You. He scored again this week.
Yeah, he did.
Scored again this week, so did Gianluca Caprari in a horrible game against Sampdoria.
Yeah.
It's the one that I watched. It was horrible. It was rubbish to watch. I think there's a few games towards the end of the season now where, and it's happening in the Premier League as well, it's sort of like the season's petering out. So I think round about the teams from I'm going to say 7th to 15th, there's going to be certain games where they're maybe playing other opponents where the attacking moves just don't come off and there's a little extra sloppiness because there isn't essentially too much to play for. Obviously, the competitive level is still there, though.
I agree, yeah. It's the same every season, I think.
Yeah. Let's finish off with Arsehole of the Week and Goat of the Week, shall we?
Yes.
Who do we have?
One of the best segments we have on this podcast.
It's the best segment. It's the only reason people tune in.
Yep. I wouldn't blame them.
Who do we think is Arsehole of the Week?
I mean, I would say that David and Nicola could fit in both categories.
Why? No. David is the GOAT of the Week, man. David is the GOAT of the Week.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not nice to threaten your player with a shoe.
Yeah, it is. threaten him with both shoes. I'm giving David Nicola is my GOAT of the Week.
Yeah, I second that.
And Arsehole of the Week, I'm going to give it to Meret for Napoli.
Yeah, also a good pick.
Come on. There's going to be nobody else. Also, like, I feel for the kid because he is, like...
Ending a Scudetto push.
Football in Napoli is taken so seriously, and to make a big error like that is, you know, it's a big deal. I feel for him, but I'm sorry, you still ask for the weak minute.
Let's just say he will have to lock his door.
Yes, but like Napoli, they're insanely attracted to football there. It's I don't know how to explain the craze. Think of a good metaphor, man.
I don't know a good metaphor, but it's also kind of a since the 80s, there's been like a sort of us against the rest of the country mentality in Napoli, because
it's a fascination.
They were kind of treated badly, and they had it tough down there, seen to what the situation was in the north part of the country. So, I mean, losing out on this Scudetto battle two teams in the north, that was tough for me to say. Also, is somewhat of a factor in it.
Yeah, synonymous. It's synonymous with football. So poor kid is going to have some tough weeks, but you still are sort of the week. Just a quick one as well. If anybody wants to sort of get an explanation or more of an insight into Napoli and its love for football, that Hand of God film that came out, I think it was this year or last year, by Paolo Sorrentino, was very famed. I watched it, didn't particularly understand or like it, but it sort of adds into the whole Maradona and Napoli fantasies. We're talking a lot of Maradona this week, aren't we?
Yeah, but he deserves it.
Yes, of course. Anything else for Arsehole or Goal of the Week? Are we comfortable with that?
I think we're comfortable with it. Maybe we threw in the U Doggy as a Goat of the Week as well, because why not?
Okay, lovely.
Yeah, fair enough. U Doggy.
Yeah, but U Doggy's always Goat of the Week. U Doggy.
I love how his first name is Destiny as well.
U Doggy.
Yeah.
Destiny. And Udinese also have Isaac Success.
So many good names here. And
I just love names of players that sound very cool, basically.
I kind of like Beto as well.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, but like Doggy and Successor. Anyway, look, we're getting way off the track now. We're just talking about names that we enjoy. Anyway, that's all we have time for this week on ADR for BreakingTheLines.com. Please like, share, and subscribe on the podcast, whether it's Apple, Anchor, or Spotify. Thank you very, very much for joining me again this week, Max. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.